What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And getting into immigration and the border, Governor Ron DeSantis is blasting these illegal immigrant Florida looters. Apparently, there's been a lot of looting in the wake of Hurricane Ian, and most of the people arrested for looting were illegal immigrants, and DeSantis said he'd like to drag them out by the collars and send them back to where they came from. I wholeheartedly agree. Let's take them down to the border, get a trebuchet, and just fling them over, and there's somebody else's problem here. Now, interestingly enough, liberals are still very upset. You know, how dare you get rid of our future Democratic voters here? And Julie Gundegold, the Democrat candidate for district attorney in Maricopa County, Arizona, came on out saying DeSantis should be criminally charged for sending illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. I'm sorry, there was a sign in front of Martha's Vineyard saying we welcome everybody. And so, and it pointed out the hypocrisy of some of the liberals here. Now, interestingly enough, four more states have deployed their National Guard to the U.S.-Mexico border, and I'm not talking about Arizona, Texas, and Florida. This is New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Kentucky, and Illinois are deploying National Guard units to help protect the U.S.-Mexico border, and good for them. Okay, now, down in Texas, they noticed a trend there as more and more migrants try to avoid detection by the Customs Immigration Service, the Border Patrol. There's more human smuggling going on by airplane. As a result, the Texas DPS is having to keep an eye on regional airports, you know, for these small airplanes coming in, dropping off the illegal immigrants and turning around and going back. But it's a wide open border. And, you know, if they would just start enforcing the provisions of Title VIII, the laws are already there. Assisting an illegal immigrant gets you in trouble. Giving a job to an illegal immigrant gets you in trouble. The laws are there. They're just not being enforced. And Joe Biden, by his failure to uphold the laws, which is the responsibility of the executive branch, he is in violation of his oath of office. Okay, up in Massachusetts, specifically in Boston, there was this father and son pair of restaurant owners were arrested yesterday in connection with an alleged human smuggling operation in which the people who were smuggled into the country were forced to work at the restaurants to pay off their debt. Okay, and apparently these migrants came from Brazil to the U.S., and the price tag to bring them here was between $18,000 and $22,000 in fees, and these immigrants were then put to work in the restaurants. Obviously, they had to be fed and housed, any excess, they had to work off the debt there, which is, you know, kind of tacky here. Okay, over in the United Kingdom, the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, said it is not racist to want to control our borders. I wholeheartedly agree. Illegal is not a race. And if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. And that is really the end of it. Okay, 512-248-8252. And let's see, getting on to guns and gun rights, a Philadelphia judge on Monday blocked the city from banning guns at parks and recreation facilities after a gun rights lobbying group argued that the city does not have the authority to do so. So this was Judge Joshua H. Roberts of the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas issued a permanent injunction against the ban and permanently enjoined the city against enforcing the directive. So it's a victim for gun rights, and if you've got a city full of criminals and your police department has been defunded, then you are your own best defense against being attacked, robbed, beaten, raped, mugged, whatever you want to call it here. Okay, up in New York, there's been another gun buyback event that has gone horribly wrong. Attorney General Letitia James' gun buyback was made a mockery when a self-described punk kid earned $21,000 for 3D printed gun parts. Okay, so they weren't taking care of that. It's a waste of money. It is really a waste of money. And I'll tell you why. The criminals are not going to turn their guns in. Okay, that's their means of their livelihood. They're not going to turn in the guns. What you're going to get is a bunch of stuff that is corroded past uselessness, or you're going to encourage family members to steal a gun from another family member and turn it in for the money. So they're actually contributing to the rise of crime. And these buybacks never really work here. All right, story coming on out of Breitbart. The FBI has been deliberately undercounting the number of times armed citizens stop active shootings. They don't want you realizing that armed citizenry can really make a difference in active shooters. They want you to go gun-free zones and, you know, use you as target practice for the nutcases here. And the Crime Prevention Research Center released a study showing that the FBI undercounts the number of times armed citizens stop a criminal. They pointed to the example of 22-year-old Alicia Dickin shooting and killing the Greenwood Park Mall attacker in Indiana on July 17th of 2022, this year here. And they noted a few establishment media responses in the attack. Read, it's rare in the U.S. for an active shooter to be stopped by a bystander. There's the propaganda. Oh, it never really happens. You don't need a gun. It hardly ever happens. And but yeah, that guy who shot that active shooter was a hero, is a hero. Again, if crime is surging out of control because of all these George Soros-backed soft-on-crime DAs, and if the police department has been gutted by all these Democratic defund-the-police movements, then there is nothing between you and the criminal but your own weapon of deterrence. Hopefully, you won't have to pull that trigger because that's not a pleasant experience, but still. You know, crime is just soaring. And now the Democrats want to go one step further. Up in New York, they are demanding that the New York Police Department erase their database they've been keeping on gang activity. And the rationale is saying that, you know, it unfairly labels black and brown New Yorkers as potential criminals. Well, I'm sorry, you know, the black and brown populations seem to be responsible for much of the crime. And in the name of equity and fairness, they want that database to go away, which means the police department will be hamstrung trying to deal with gang activity. Okay, we have open lines, 512-248-8252. And let's see, over in New York City's financial district, and I was there when Claire and I went to do the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 event. We played tourists. We went around Manhattan Island and visited Wall Street. But now it's a complete crime-ridden disaster, okay? And residents and workers in the financial district are saying it's their once vibrant neighborhoods are entirely different and scary. In September alone, they had at least four trash fires. The fires were taken care of quickly, but the amount of crime and lawlessness that continues to plague the area is spiraling out of control. And it seems the criminals are being encouraged by a lack of oversight over their actions and a lack of meaningful crackdown on the crimes that they are committing. And we have been seeing this all across the country. And, you know, criminals commit a crime. They go on in to jail. They're let out, you know, with, you know, no bail. And they go on out and they reoffend. You know, why should they stop doing what they're doing? They don't go to jail. They don't have to pay any fines. They're just, it's a revolving door here. All righty. Another story. This is, we're getting into ClimateGate. This is from Michael Schellensberg's Substack. And it's talking about how the media is lying about the climate and the hurricanes. And they put out a couple of headlines that we saw following Hurricane Ian. The Financial Times reported that hurricane frequency is on the rise. The New York Times claims strong storms are becoming more common in the Atlantic Ocean. The Washington Post said climate change is rapidly fueling super hurricanes. ABC News declared, here's how climate change intensifies hurricanes. And both the Financial Times and the New York Times showed graphs showing rising hurricane frequency using data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Every single one of those claims are false. And you probably saw a lot of headlines in the corporate media saying that, the financial damage keeps getting worse and worse, therefore the hurricanes are getting more severe. No, that's not what's going on. As the population density increases, you know, there is more wealth that's in the way of those storms. And that's the reality of what's going on. And we had, of course, Kelly call in yesterday talking about the New Madrid earthquake and how when it happened, there wasn't much reported damage because hardly anybody lived in that area. If that were to happen today, it would be a huge amount of damage. Doesn't mean the quake is stronger, just means there's more stuff in the way. Okay, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Rob in Mississippi. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I want to say I think you're a very well-informed person with an incredible memory. I want to get your opinion on everything that's happening that we see. I mean everything. How do you think it's the United States is going to play out? And if you could, get a little detailed, and I'm not going to debate what you say, and I want to know what you think.
Well, what I think, and I've been saying this for a while now, is that I think the United States is headed for a Soviet Union-style collapse, probably led by an economic collapse, because private central banking is a Ponzi scheme. And because it's so large, it takes a long time for the piling up of debt to overwhelm and swamp the system. I would find that ultimate fate of the United States to be preferable than a nuclear or biological world war. But I don't see the United States being able to continue on the path that it's on right now. People are getting angry. They're getting aware that the government takes their money and does not make their life better in exchange for it. And so I really do see an eventual collapse of our current nation, and then we're going to have a job building a new nation.
I agree with your opinion. When you say a financial collapse, I know our political leaders do not want to take the fall, and they'll try to blame it on somebody else. You got any
idea? Oh, yeah, always. It's Putin's fault. It's Xi Jinping's fault. You know, it's Rivero's fault.
Yeah. Okay, right. And, you know, I think everybody will buy it, hook, line, and sinker.
I doubt it. People are getting really, really skeptical. You know, I mean, living here in this part of Indiana, I've only met one person so far who is not plugged into the reality of what's going on in this country.
Yeah, I see people seeing what's going on, but I'm seeing the opposite. So many people are asleep.
Well, that may have to do with our different geographies here, but people are definitely getting angry.
It could, yes, and they are. Yes. People, are losing their civility.
Yeah, I've been seeing that for a long time, too.
Enjoy the show, Mike. Always listen. Thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you very much. Here we have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, young man, and hello to Claire, the young lady in your life.
Yes.
Go figure. You know, when it comes to laws or policies or whatever that politicians create, supposedly to make them look good and say, oh, we have a law against this and against that, it's like a buffet. They only reinforce what they wish to enforce, period.
Yes.
Enough said about that. As far as what DeSantis did down in Florida is concerned about people that were in Florida illegally or whatever the case was that are not a citizen or U.S. citizen of Florida and then being arrested and being removed, I have to applaud him, even though probably a lot of people think, well, they're Americans. They're from South America or from Central America. Excuse me. There's a big difference between the United States of North America compared to Central America.
Yes.
And because I had that discussion with my sister-in-law at one point, and boy, that got interesting. Lastly, in general, the aspect of businesses expecting workforce to work off the cost of their importation or whatever the case was of their being brought in. Ironically, you mentioned about that because a number of years back, maybe 5 or 10 for that matter, I knew of a eatery that did that in central North Carolina, not far from downtown Raleigh. Obviously the eatery closed because it was discovered what was being done with the workforce that was brought in and was expected to work off their cost of being brought in. And I had no idea about it until much later. I was like, well, that's odd. Why did they close? And that's what I learned. I was like, oh, my gosh. And whoever closed the business down, I have to applaud them because, quite frankly, that's how about being inhumane? That's one fractionary branch of inhumane trafficking of people from regardless of who it is or where they're from. Bring them in, expecting them to work off their cost of transport or whatever, let alone saying, well, if you want to come here, you need to...
It's going to take years for them to do that.
Thank you.
You know, and they're essentially indentured servants is what they are.
Well, that as well as they could also view it as a financial slave. But then again, who in the U.S. isn't a financial slave to the financial industry, for that matter? So that's another fractionary aspect, which actually reminds me of one thing, though. And as far as fractionary financial banking and all that's concerned, you remember when they had this thing called Common Core?
Oh, boy, do I remember that.
Education, and quite frankly, I viewed one of my nieces, how they did math on paper. And I thought, wait a minute, you don't even have the correct answer for the equation that's being presented to you. How are you supposed to come up with the right answer when they don't even present it to you? It turns out you have to choose something of a fractional nature for the answer. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they're basically in Common Core. They're preparing people, young folks, for the financial industry as far as being able to handle fractional banking is concerned.
Yes.
And how it affects their lives. So it's like, it's absolute insanity. My head was spinning when I saw that garbage. So, anyway, once again, I have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my Corona, and y'all have a great weekend otherwise.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to James in Tokyo. Ohio gozaimasu, ogenki desu ka? What's on your mind today?
I'm angry James? At you, Mike. A little angry.
Oh,
at you.
You're angry at me again. But, what did I do this time?
Well, before I get angry at you, how many fingers do I have up now, Mike? I want to check your eye.
Let's see. There's got to be 4 fingers and a thumb hooked onto that hand.
Well, you're absolutely right again, Michael.
Kidneys.
But I'm still angry at you.
Okay.
I'm still angry at you. Hey, Mike. I called you last week, right?
Yeah.
And I asked you who was behind the whole sabotage with the pipelines and you said America.
Yes.
I'm very angry because you never came up with the number one perpetrator of this kind of sabotage, which to me was that little wench, Greta.
You know, that's a real possibility. Okay, James, stay on the line. Stay on the line. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back. 512-248-8252.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor?
And welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with James in Tokyo. And James, take it away.
You know, Mike, a lot of times I'm kind of like skeptical of the news. Last week I took you to task when you I called out your fake news when you said the Queen died, and I told you Elton John was still alive. And I'm beginning to feel a lot of this kind of same thing. Like, I'm reading a lot of news right now, Michael, and it's like, you know, Putin's losing, you know, his own government is going to take him out. What do you think about all that kind of stuff first?
Well, you know, truth is the first casualty of war, and all sides are going to be lying, you know, to try and, keep their people enthusiastic about throwing their money and their children into the conflict. And what's really interesting is, if you go back and you look at some of the propaganda that was being put out during World War II, and it was the same thing, you know, we're pushing the Nazis back and we're pushing the Japanese back. And, you know, they didn't report on the defeats. And if you go back, there was a wonderful Robin Williams movie, Good Morning Vietnam, which was a real-life story of Dan Levitan, who was a radio host for Armed Forces Radio Network. And everything that went out on the air had to be cleared by a bunch of censors.
I have an amazing book on World War II propaganda with the Japanese, and it might be at my beach house, but if I find it there, I'm going to send it to you. And
that would be education.
Yeah, Mike, it's really amazing, and it like really opens your eyes up to like just how fake everything has been, you know, like in your entire life. And anyway, I want to talk about can't remember what I want to talk about, so I'm going to go. And Mike,
all right, well, thank you very much for the phone call there.
Happy Rising.
And
well, yeah.
All right, we have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, good day, Mike.
All right, good day.
Good day. Can I call you a host? Because one guy says you shouldn't be ever using a guy. You're condescending when you call a host by his name three or four times.
Oh, you can call me Mike or Michael or El Supremo or Your Royal Highness, whatever is going to work for you.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Mike. So I don't have to call you host. I don't have to call the host.
No, you don't have to call me host.
Like, yeah, that one character is unbelievable. Well, I don't want to get into that, Mike. That's for another day. Here's what I want to talk about, Mike. First off, unbelievable buffoon Biden is here in Florida, and DeSantis let him speak, and he is mumbling and fumbling all over the place about this hurricane relief nonsense, and he's giving his wife, Jill, all the credit. And all. It's unbelievable. This imbecile is the president, but... Here, Mike, this guy's, look at what he's really doing. He's releasing a reserve, the oil, strategic reserve for the oil.
Yes.
So he can bring down the gas prices until the election. And after that, I can bet you on the 15th of November, that gas is going to go back to $5 a gallon.
Yes, no question.
This idiot and these people vote for this nonsensical, imbecile-look stuff, Mike.
Well, they didn't vote for him last time. The election was stolen, and they're going to try and steal this one as well in 2024.
You better believe they are, and they're going to steal it, and they're going to use the narrative I already told you about, Mike. They're going to use that narrative on and on and on until it's exposed. But I don't think it will be, because like you said, they're going to probably steal this election. I think the Republicans are going to grab the House, but maybe by 14 votes. I think they'll still have the majority. Let's hope for that. I don't know how the Senate's going to go, but... Mike, I got to admit, I don't think much is really going to change other than us getting into a nuclear war with Russia. That's my opinion. Or China, who knows?
Well, I don't want a nuclear war with anybody because we're all
either,
on the front lines for that one. I noticed that Donald Trump has now stepped in where Elon Musk fears to tread, and he's saying, you know, to Zelensky and Putin, let's get together and see if we can sort this mess out.
Yes, I heard something about that also. But yeah, Mike, you know, buffoonery, I don't know, the deep state or whatever, how they got this guy even to steal the election. They would put an imbecile like that in there. And Mike, I remember during the election time, you remember, he was getting his butt creamed by Bernie until he got to South Carolina with the black, what was his name, the black guy that got him, saved his whole candidacy and all that.
Yeah.
And they used to have to get the black vote. I mean, it's unbelievable. And now, Mike, I saw in the news today that the blacks are, like, voting 35% for Trump. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, the black vote is shifting Republican. The Hispanic vote is shifting Republican. Everybody's just fed up with all this LGBTQ nonsense, porn books in the schools. And, you know, people have reached the breaking point.
Yeah, and exactly, Mike. And, you know, Black Lives Matter... They got like $90-some million, and they're suing each other for the money.
Yes, they are. Well, they, you know, there was that one founder bought what, 6 houses with the money that she embezzled from Black Lives Matter. You know, they got scammed. All those people supporting Black Lives Matter, they got scammed, and they don't want to admit it. But yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Exactly, Mike. You know, and what's unbelievable to me is in these schools. These elementary schools, even these kindergartens all the way up to like junior high school, these kids are all being taught how bad Whitey was. Hey, I hate to tell everybody, but it was the white men shooting each other in the Civil War. It wasn't whites against blacks.
Okay, Tom, we're into the commercial break, so I'm going to put you on hold here, and we should be hearing music. No, I guess we're not. Okay, Tom, keep talking. Oh, there it is. There's the music.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
Welcome back to our show here, and we do have some open lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with Tom in Florida. And Tom, could you pick up where I interrupted you?
Yeah, Mike, you there?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, yeah, Mike. What I want to leave off, I left off on is the Afro-Americans and all these other groups, Mike. I don't know why there has such a bitterness for the white culture, because, I mean, after all, Mike, we gave them almost everything they got. I mean, the blacks in this country are the richest black country in the world. The blacks that live in the United States have more money than any other black country there is in the whole entire world. But they still complain about how bad white is. You know, Mike, slavery, me and you had nothing to do with slavery. It was white men killing white men over that.
Yeah.
Giving their freedom. Okay.
Well, there were black units on both sides in the Civil War. What's going on is the politicians, the opportunists within the black community, you know, keep bringing up slavery and reparations, and they're selling the idea that they are owed something just because they are black. And that's a very attractive argument. And I think one of the reasons that we're seeing so much out-of-control crime is the black community has been convinced or propagandized to think that this is their just due because of reparations.
Well, you know, Mike, there was only, at that time, during the Civil War, when the Civil War was raging in the United States, Mike, there was only 3.7 million blacks in this country. Now there's over 40-something. You know, and a lot of these blacks got shipped in from Africa and stuff. So, you know, we don't know, the white man doesn't owe them nothing, Mike. We gave them their freedom. We don't owe them nothing. They have to work for a living like everybody else. And everybody should be equal on equal footing. There should be no affirmative action. I totally against affirmative action. I don't believe in that crap.
And I agree.
You know, they get all these freebies and all that. And Mike, then let's go to the Zionists, the Jewish community, Mike. Oh, do they have a bitterness toward white Europeans? Who's the one that freed them from Germany, Mike? It was the white Christian males. I mean, the nutter nonsense I see out of these leftist communist Marxist Bolsheviks is ridiculous. They did not take on the white man by themselves and win. That's for damn sure, Mike. It had to be the white man.
Yeah, they
except
the Warsaw Uprising. You know, the Jews living in Germany just kind of rolled over and let the Nazis just steamroller over them.
Exactly right. And, you know, Mike, even to this moment, in this minute, the state of Israel, okay, and they're getting funded by us, guys like you and me, taxpayers, all the RBN callers are paying taxes to them. They're getting, I believe, $80-some billion for their military every year by the United States. I can't even remember the exact number, maybe $56 billion, whatever the case. And they got a wall around it. They won't let 10 million Muslims sneak in through Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. But here they're always on their leftist, communist, Bolshevik news medias are saying how bad white man is, Mike. That narrative should never be allowed because we're the majority, not them. If they don't like it, they can go back to Israel. I mean,
well,
they have
definitely white people need to come together and celebrate their heritage. And there's a bias because when black people celebrate their heritage, it's called black power. When Hispanics come together to celebrate their heritage, it's Hispanic power. When women get together, it's women power, female power. But when white people come together to celebrate their heritage, oh, you're being a bunch of white supremacists and racists, and there's a sociological war going on right now.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Mike. Great way of putting it. And, at all costs, Mike, at all costs, what you're saying, we gotta take back the narrative of this country as white Americans. We
yes.
are the majority. We're not the minority. We're not the superimposed. We have the superimposed minority telling the majority what to do. We can't allow that. It's got to come to a screeching halt. We got to take back our dominance. And that's the way it is. Hey, when you go into a race, Mike, when you're in a NASCAR race, one guy's going to win and one guy's going to lose. In good time, Charlie's going to sing the blues. That's just the way it is. When you're any kind of sports, when you play a football game, one team's going to win, one's going to lose, unless you tie it.
Oh, yeah, but you get a participation trophy. Don't forget,
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, Mike, that's basically all I got for today. But it makes me sick watching these leftist media imbeciles getting paid millions of dollars, and you're not even getting a million. And you're bringing out the truth of the matter of this whole situation, what's going on in this country, and you're getting pittance compared to what these leftist Bolshevik Marxists are getting. It's crazy. They're paying women.
I wouldn't even know what to do with that kind of money. But, Claire and I, we're getting by. What can I tell you here?
But it's just sick. We don't have a narrative.
It is. There's a social upheaval coming, and I'm concerned that there will be a pushback. Now, in terms of your use of the word dominance, I have a little bit of a problem with that one. I would like to see us going back to a democracy where, one person, one vote, and we choose the government that's going to make our lives better. And we don't have that right now.
I got you. Well, Mike, what I meant by dominance? I meant, we got to take back our supermajority. I mean, we are the majority still. We can't allow them to be losing that. So that's what I meant by that. We got to, our founding fathers, when they were looking through the ambiguous ways, Mike, and they were looking through see the shining sea, they were not looking at what we're looking at now. They were looking at basically a white European culture. And that's how the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, the Declaration, and every other thing. Agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and so that's what I meant by dominance, Mike. We got to go through from sea to shining sea, and we just got to remember we are the one. Our Northern European culture built this country to be the greatest country, superpower in the world, greatest country in the world. put it that way.
Well, it was at one point. It's definitely an empire in decline. Anyway, listen, Tom, I'm going to let you go here because we got a bunch of callers I want to get to. So we're going to go to Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Laura, are you there? Who's on the line?
Oh, there you are. I listened to an interview on Glenn Beck's show today, and I'll give you the websites, donoharm.org or donoharminmedicine.org. And what it was about was these CRT classes are in medical schools and in nursing schools. And it's starting to affect, you know, what if a nurse, a medical doctor wants to help somebody, whether, you know, they'll think to themselves, well, let's see, is this guy a white supremacist? Did this guy vote for Trump? I don't know if I want to take care of him. That's what she was talking about.
Well, I'm looking at the webpage right now, and I'm going to go ahead and link to it. Because what they're basically saying, well, they're saying some really, really good things.
What they're saying is this a good thing?
Yeah, it says, do no harm fights for individual patients and against identity politics. And it goes on to say the same radical movement behind critical race theory in the classroom and defund the police is coming after health care, but hardly anyone knows it. Well, we know it now because of Kamala Harris coming on out saying that the emergency aid for Hurricane Ian should be distributed to non-white communities.
Equity, yeah, they use this equity word.
Yeah.
Right. Also, tonight at 9 o'clock, Glenn Beck on his podcast, the Blaze podcast on YouTube, is going to interview a KGB agent. It's going to talk about how Americans come back, get back their country. Should be interesting. Matt, 9 o'clock on the Blaze podcast.
All right. Well,
everybody
to... all right. Well, thank you very much there, and thank you for the phone call. We're going to go to Marco in Alabama.
Okay.
Hello, Marco. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Michael. I want to talk about something that you probably haven't talked about. I don't know why I didn't listen to you on Friday or Monday or Tuesday, but did you talk at all about Yuval Noah Harari saying that there is a new species of human?
Yeah, he's the guy who won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote this book called Homo Deus, but actually now everybody who has taken the vaccine is now a part of the...
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm confusing it. There was a researcher who proved that Neanderthals are still alive in the general population and discovered a third antecedent for humans called the Denisovans. I confused him for, yeah, this guy saying that everybody who's taken the vaccine, your DNA has been rewritten, and you may be the intellectual property of the pharmaceutical companies.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
I want to point everybody to an article that I had given you in your email at What Really Happened, and if you could post that to your website, because basically there's going to be a lawsuit coming, you know, for everybody, dude, I mean, this mRNA... technology, you know, actually started in the military around 2005. So I'm kind of worried about it, dude, that, you know, I may have, you know, this mRNA technology because, you know, when you sign up with the military and all that stuff, dude, you give up certain things.
Yes.
And things like that. So anybody, dude, who was in the military in 2005, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, we might have this in us. But basically, Yuval Noah Harari is coming out and saying, dude, that there is a new human in the human family, and it's called Homo Borg Genesis. And you guys can look this up, you know, on Google,
fan.
And you can find some articles. One of the top articles will come from, like, the Phaser that's talking about this, and it's talking about the lawsuit, dude, that's coming, that, you know, a lot of people, you know, if this is true, and that they, in that inside the patents, dude, for the mRNA technology, you are no longer a human being. And all that stuff, yeah. and that basically you are now property due to, of the pharmaceutical companies if you have taken the vaccine and things like that.
I am nobody's property. And, you know, I mean, fraud negates consent, and, you know, we were coerced into these shots. So I don't really think that there's much of a basis there. Because I think most people are going to feel like I do. You know, I'm nobody's property, and I don't care what they've shot into me. They may own the intellectual property rights to the mRNA, and I promise I'm not going to sell it off to anybody else. You know, but tinkering with my genes does not make me the property of anybody.
Well, I'm not so, I mean, I'm worried about that, you know, to an extent, but I'm also more worried about the fact that, you know, I have been changed. And, I mean, because we're getting into this, what was that movie from, like, the early 2000s? Gattaca?
Yes. Where
basically, you know, humans are grown for spare parts, dude, for, you know, the elite.
Oh, there have been a lot of movies along that same theme, yes.
Where
Island.
You can fall under those guidelines, but apparently, you know, Dr. Jane Ruby is saying, dude, that there is a difference now and all that stuff, man, that they're in the infancy of studying. That, you know, people, dude, who have gotten, you know, the mRNA shot and have survived and things like that are going to be, you know, a different human species. And that,
well,
they're creating,
you know,
you know, the aliens and the human chimeras
true.
And all that,
that
stuff, dude, that you would sit here and, you know,
level,
conspiracy
but,
land would kookify. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, your DNA is changed. And we have to worry about this going forward. And I sent you, you know, a good article, you know, to get people started, you know, to be able to look into this and things like that. I mean, because this is unnerving, you know, and where they could actually get away with something like this.
Well, they can try, but I don't think the public is going to buy it.
Well, see, though, this is the whole thing. I mean, you know, I know that, you know, we talk about the World Economic Forum, you know, on this station and things like that. But, you know, everything, dude, that they're talking about, dude, is coming to fruition. And we don't have, you know, the representatives, dude, in Congress and the Senate, you know, to stop any of this. Our president is obviously behind it. And, you know, whether you voted for Biden or Trump, dude, because, you know, this still happened. You know, Trump still allowed Operation Warp Speed to happen, things like that. So, you know, he knew what this was. And all that stuff. I mean, you know, the president is privy, dude, to UFOs and every, you know, other, you know, side thing that they don't want us to know about and things like that. So he knew about this. And in Florida, you know, everybody thinks, dude, that you're free and clear and all that stuff. In Florida, dude, Ron DeSantis, dude, you know, still has, you know, the law, dude, in Florida, dude, that states, dude, that, you know, if the police pull you over, dude, in, you know, for a sniffle, dude, and vaccines are mandatory. Nonsense. So all of this, you know, Florida is free and clear isn't really true, dude, because Ron DeSantis just extended, you know, the vaccine mandates and things like that, you know, outside of everybody.
Okay.
You guys can look into this, dude. This website, dude, that I had given you, Michael, what really happened.com, your email. And all that stuff talks about it. And
yeah,
anybody who lives in Florida
right
should look at this. Anybody who was in the military, dude, in 2005 should look into this. Because, you know, this could have happened to you. We could have gotten vaccinated without even knowing it. I mean, even if, you know, we had, you know, subconscious, you know, of objecting, you know, to the Pfizer and Moderna and all that stuff. But if we were in the military, dude, we were experimented on.
Well, I was not in the military, and I don't like being experimented on, and I don't care how much of my DNA they rewrite. I am not owned by any corporation. Anyway, Marco, we're getting close to the end of the show here, and I got a bunch of...
Have a good afternoon, sir.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Peter, are you there? Okay, I guess we lost Peter.
Hello.
Oh, Peter,
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, what's on your mind?
I wanted to just extend a little bit on what Tom was saying. And it basically, it's about the black vote, about black crime and so on, about reparations and so on and so forth. You were saying, even with the conversation with Marco about people only know what the media tells them, It's amazing how many people have their head in the sand or have been so pigeonholed by 50 or 60 years of propagandizing that they won't even acknowledge truth when it's in their face.
Yeah, I know somebody like that.
I know tons of people like that. And I can tell you that the black vote and the 61 or 2 or 3% of the population is still white, you know, here. But I've said this on the air before, and I want to put this out there. I'm sure you and I can go through in the, thousands of instances in a majority white or non-black precinct or state or district or
okay,
whatever it
Peter,
might be.
Peter, I got to put you on hold. I got to put you on hold. Just stay on the line. We'll be right back. Okay, we're going to go ahead and skip the break because we got a bunch of calls on there. And Peter, just pick on up where you left off.
All right. We can all think of a whole slew, hundreds, maybe thousands, of black people who have been elected in areas that weren't majority black. From Obama to, Kamala Harris to... You name it. Virtually any congresswoman, any senator who's ever been there, Mayor of New York, Dinkins, all these people, Mayor of New York now, they're not majority black. So white people have demonstrated hundreds, if not thousands of times, that they are willing to vote, even though they overwhelmingly outnumber black people, whatever given district or precinct or whatever it is. They're willing to vote for a black candidate. But I put
you're failing to take into account the massive amount of election fraud that was exposed in 2020. And I do know that, people who didn't want to vote for a black candidate were castigated as racist. And so a lot of people were voting for black candidates to prove to the world that they weren't racist.
Well, that's true. But that's also, not where I'm going on this.
Okay.
I would tell you, Mike, that the point is that white people as a community have demonstrated thousands of times that they are willing to vote for a non-white candidate, even though they're in the majority and a non-white candidate is not. But I want to put the challenge out here. We can probably name hundreds or thousands where that's the case. I want you to, or anybody in the audience, to name me a candidate who has been elected in a majority black district. Any candidate who's won an election who is a non-black. Anyone at all. Now, you might be able to come up with one or two, although I've never been able to do it, but we can come up with 1,000 of the other ones, right? And I can tell you that the way that they look at it is, honestly, I half my family is black. They won't vote for, they won't watch or root for a sporting team that it's got to be mostly black. That's the criteria. If Idi Amin were running against Jesus Christ, they vote for Idi Amin. And that's just the way they are. They've been told since at least the 60s and the 50s that white supremacists, horrible white people, and they've been discriminated against and preyed upon and so on and so forth. That every failure of theirs is they can ascribe to white evilness. And you know what, Mike, I've had plenty of failures in my life, and it would be pretty goddamn attractive if I could, in my own mind, say, well, it's just because of blacks, right?
Or Jews or whatever target group is.
It's such a great crutch. I don't know if I could be able to give that up myself, but that's what we're dealing with. They can blame everything.
We are. There's a lot of scapegoating. I mean, a lot of this anti-male animus came out of the feminist movement of the 90s. All men are rapists and that kind of mentality. Anyway, Peter, we're getting close to the end of the show. I'm going to try and fit a couple more calls in here. Thank you very much. And we're going to go to Judy in West Virginia. Hello, Judy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. May I just add one quick comment about the slavery issue?
Yes.
The late Dr. Walter E. Williams said he was grateful that his ancestors were brought over here, because otherwise he would probably be still in Africa wearing a loincloth and running around in the jungle.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, and it's absolutely true. And, you know, there's a lot of anger, you know, that they're not at the top of the society. But, yeah, the descendants of the American slaves have a better standard of living than those who remained in Africa. And that's an absolute reality.
Yep. And another thing is the moniker African-American annoys me, because if they want to be correct, they should say sub-Saharan African-American, because the Egyptian Americans are African-Americans, too.
Well, they ought to just call themselves Americans. I'm against all hyphenated forms of American, whether it's Black American, Hispanic American, Mexican American, whatever. We're all Americans. And, of course, our government lives in fear of the day when all 330 million Americans stand up and say, we are one people and we are pissed.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, we're going to go to Chuck in Atlanta. Hello, Chuck. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
I'm just calling. First of all, I want to say to you, I had the opportunity to watch your documentary, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I and what I want to add to that is that whatever is going on between so-called black and so-called white in America, somebody is behind it, and they've been.
Oh yeah, divide and conquer. You know, the government wants us fighting each other, so we don't fight them.
Allow me to finish. There you are. If you know this, why don't you talk to the fellow that called before? Black folks this, and black people this, and black, you know. And one thing, other thing, I would like for you to do: go and get look at some of the quotes from Henry Kissinger. What he said.
Yeah, he was not a good person. He was definitely not a good person.
He's good enough to say it. Those that don't, what we need to do is read it and understand it. Number two, I would like for you to go get Black's Law Dictionary and look up the word white person.
Okay.
And you'll find out who the white people are. Then you look up the word Aryan, Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
All these words, because words have power. Words say what they mean and mean what they say. And the terms are legal terms. And we are laymans. We don't understand. They speak in another language. And when you call yourself...
Yeah, they hide behind legal jargon all the time.
And calling me black. I'm not black. I'm a man.
Good for you. Good for you. And, you know, I hate to do this to you, no disrespect, but we are at the end of the show, and I'm going to have to let you go.
My thing is, I just want to make my point.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. The clock, you know, does not pause for any of us. My apology to the caller who's still waiting on hold. Please call in tomorrow. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog is taking the microphone tonight. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Thanks to everybody who is donating and getting us through these very difficult times. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. OxySilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.